Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I am so excited to be back with you all. You know, I've been on a hiatus for a little while. I relocated down to Central Florida, and it has took me a minute to get situated in a whole lot of different things, and so I wanted to kind of get back to what, you know, I was doing before I got down here, and I think, you know, well, I believe and I know that God has definitely opened up some doors in some areas, and so I'm just excited to walk through them, and wanted to, you know, take a moment in time to kind of regroup and get things back prospectively in place as I move forward. You know, there's a lot has happened, and I'm extremely excited about it. You know, I really can't tell you, you know, how excited I am. I think the doors that God has opened is definitely leading me into a place that has destiny connected with it. And so I wanted to, you know, my last thing that I kind of discussed was really dealing with getting ready to enter into a place to discuss the tabernacle. However, you know, during that time period, I moved. And so here I am now, I'm getting back into it. So before we go further with this, let's go into the presence of the Lord with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God. Father, we appreciate you. And Lord, there is no other God like you. And God, it's your presence that I desire, and that I'm not asking you to be a part of this, Lord, because this is you. God, I'm asking you to allow me to be a part of what you're doing, Father, and that I can fully participate and know that I am following your will. So, God, we thank you for every ear that is listening, every person that is participating, everyone that is being a part and gathering in to hear what you have to say. We bless you, oh God. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. I am extremely excited because I'm getting back to the thing that I love, and that is discussing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my God, and I picked this night, and God had selected me to do years ago on a Tuesday night to talk about truths, and a lot of things that we discuss are not necessarily truths. They are euphemisms or they are colloquialisms or things that we just say, and we kind of repeat, been habitual in repeating what people say and wanting to make that true when it's actually just someone paraphrasing of something different, and then we making an attempt to engage and say the same thing thinking that we're talking the truth. And so, you know, when I say the tabernacle, I really want to show the significance of it. But I want you all to travel with me, if you please, for a minute. The base of this scripture that I got comes from Exodus, the number 25. And verse 8 and 9 is where it begins the introduction. But if you really want to get a good idea of what's being said, I want you to go to the first verse. We're going to read there. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. And it goes on to say, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver, brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin and cedar wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And so then in verse number 9, he goes on to say, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, excuse me, even so shall ye make it. And now the real basis of this is that God is giving Moses instructions and says to him, let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. And so this is significant now, and it is important that we understand the meaning of the word tabernacle. So and as we dive into this, you know, it is important that we just not say things, you know, and think that we are sending a message. But excuse me, I want everybody to really grab a hold of what this is. Some of our scholars out there know what the word tabernacle, you know, means. so the word tabernacle is meant to say a dwelling place. And now I want to make it clear that this was a tent. Excuse me. And so this being a tent, it was mobile. You know, it was mobile. This is a mobile tent that the people that developed that will allow God to dwell with them, right? So now, why is this important? Why is this important? God gives these instructions, and we need to know why this is important. You're not really going to find the importance of this until you go back to Genesis chapter number 1, you know. And in the first three chapters in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, 2, and 3, chapter 1 talks about all the provisions that God has made for us. And very significant when we talk about tabernacle. All of the provisions that God had made for us comes out in chapter number 1, from verse 1 all the way to verse 25. In verse 26 in Genesis chapter 1, it says, man, now let us make men. In the image of God, he made them both male and female. He made he them. So, but in the first 25 verses, it is God setting the stage of provision. Tabernacle is important now. How God sets the stage of provision. And in verse 26, the provision is for his vision, right? Now, notice these two elements now. The provision of God, and then the vision of God. I'm going to say that again. Important when we talk about the tabernacle. The provision of God and the vision of God. So everything that he does in Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1 to verse 25 is provision. This is God's provision for his vision. And man being the vision of God, God provides for his vision before it comes here. So I want you all to grab that now. And now this is done in an internal place because there is no sin during this time period. There is nothing that God had done or would do at this particular moment that would be directed towards the fulfillment or sin. So should I say that? This is all done in an internal place where there is no sin. And so since there is no sin there is no need for man to need healing. There is no need for man to need anything else other than what God has provided for him. He's not sick. He's not wounded. He's not hurt. And so all of these things that God made is now for the vision of man, right? It's for God being God, for man being God's vision. And so now, even though man needs something additional, you know, God then puts him to sleep and gives him a helpmate, right, as the scripture so determines. And so this is compatible to man. And so God gives him a helpmate, but he does not give man dominion over his helpmate. He gives man dominion over the vision or over the provision for his vision. Now, see, man and woman, as it was defined, is God's vision, okay? And so not just man, so I don't want to, you know, get chauvinistic over here and leave that out. And again, I'm talking about the tabernacle. It's important because we cannot get to the point of the tabernacle and the reason for it until we understand this. And so now God has done all of these things for man, and then he gives man a place where it's for God, but for man to come. And this is the garden. Okay? So he gives man a place because now God, he plants a garden. He creates an atmosphere that man would come and he would now dwell with God. So now, which is significant here, because man now is in a place before sin, and God creates a garden which represents his presence that man would come. Now, watch this. How does man come to him? The vision of God, man comes into the presence of God with no need. You got to hear me when I say this. He comes into the presence of God with no need. There is nothing that this man would need. So why would he go into the presence of God? Because God created man for himself. So it is the non-sinful nature. There was no sin, and so man could come before God now and into his presence just to praise him, not to ask for anything. It would not make sense because man didn't have a need for anything. So we have to understand now, before we get into the elements of the tabernacle, that God is trying to recreate something that he did in the beginning, but he's not doing it exactly the same way. He's not doing it exactly the same way, but this is a pattern now. This is not complete, but this is a pattern. He does not tell us that the tabernacle is going to lead to something else, but she now instructs Moses to have the people to build him a tabernacle. He would give them the pattern. And so he then says in verse number 8 that he may dwell with them. So now God is trying to get back to what he had with Adam. He's now reaching for this in a way to get it through the children of Israel, right? So now, important now, this is important because here are the key elements, because now I'm building a place. God is asking us to build a place where he can dwell with us, but watch it now. Now we are needful people. Now we are people that have a need, because now, Before God has this conversation with Moses, throughout from Genesis chapter 3 to Exodus in the book of Leviticus, comes in the book of Exodus, represents the Exodus or the exiting of the children of Israel out of Egypt. This is the Exodus, or this is the way that God leads them out, because their need is to be free. Whew. My Lord, they find themselves going all the way back to Joseph, being in Egypt and now slaves. So why wouldn't God want to dwell with them while in Egypt. We believe that we could dwell with God in an Egyptian mindset. So why would God not want to dwell with them while they're slaves or in bondage or locked down or beaten? Multiple reasons, you know, for that, because he had made them a promise to Abraham. Abraham is dead, but he tries to keep his promise. So now the children of Israel is a part of that promise that God made Abraham because they're the seed of Abraham. So even though Abraham is dead, God is still keeping his word. But she wants to free them and take away one of the needs that they have, you know, and that they may dwell with him. Because one of the things he tells Moses, and you got to grab this now, and he tells Moses, that tell Pharaoh to let my people go that they may dwell with me in the wilderness. God doesn't want to dwell with them in Egypt, but he will dwell with them in the wilderness. Which sparks a side note. If God will dwell with you in the wilderness, but not in your Egyptian mindset, why would we not want to go into the wilderness and dwell with God? What is so bad about the wilderness that we have frowned upon it, you know, because it was the place in which God separates us from slavery to being free. It means that we were all, we were not depending upon Egypt no more. It meant that we wasn't slaves anymore, and that even though some came and brought the slave mentality with them, we wasn't slaves anymore, right? And we wasn't bound anymore. We wasn't doing Pharaoh's work. We didn't have to build his temple when God was wanting to dwell with us out in the wilderness. I want to give you the significance of the tabernacle now. This is the place by which God wants to dwell with you. Now, this being Old Testament, you know, as some would classify it, and if you don't understand this piece, when you get down from the tabernacle to the temple to Jesus unto you, you will lose it. Because God didn't bring them out in the wilderness to be there for themselves. He brought them out there for him. Not just because he made Abraham a promise, but because from the beginning of the time that he had with Adam, this was the place Adam walked into the presence of the Lord just to worship him. Didn't have a need. Just to worship him. Now notice this now. Can God pull you out of an Egyptian experience to pull you into a sovereign place where there is nothing but him providing for you? Is this a difficult place to be in because you're used to being around the turmoil, you're used to being around the judgment, used to seeing people get beaten, you're used to seeing folks work for nothing, and God pulls you out of that place, and he brings you out into the wilderness, not into the promised land, but into the wilderness. And you're having difficulty because you're not used to this. You're trying to figure out what God is doing or what he's saying because what you were accustomed to wasn't good for you, but yet you're thinking about getting back to that. Look at the significance of the tabernacle now. You know, look at this. Because this is the first stage in which God is recreating what he had with Adam. He's trying, he's attempting to give us that are coming out of the wilderness this same experience. Because if the only thing that we needed while we were in Egypt as the children of Israel was to be free, he sent Moses to free them. You know, and now watch this. Now, even as they are out in the wilderness, God feeds them. He gives them water to drink and food to eat. They had shelter. There was nothing that they had need of. And when he gets to this point, he asked them for an offering and someone to take the offering. But that offering was to develop and build or do something in what he now signifies as the tabernacle. This is interesting, y'all. Right? And if I could, before I get into the building of the tabernacle, in fact, I got the latest now. You have to see the similarities that rest within what God did with Adam, because in the garden now, in the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. And even though God had given instructions not to eat of the tree of good and evil, you know, they still had a choice. He did not block them from eating from that tree. He just gave them instructions that if you do this, this is what's going to happen. You know, now, what really just jumps at my spirit in this, if we are viewing this as a message of God speaking to us, and that when Adam came to God, he didn't have a need, you know, his whole purpose of coming before God was to worship him. And now Adam had to do the work of obedience before he could worship God. Now, think about this now. He had to hear from God. He had to obey God. Then he could worship God. Now, in his obedience, God gives him a helpmate because he's doing what God asked of him to do, and now God blesses him and speaks a word over his life by putting him to sleep and now presents unto him a presentation, you know, of him, of what he called a helpmate. And God made this perfectly for him. You know, you're hearing me. Let's take away all the religious stuff that is going on around us, because in this particular setting, now, you know, in Exodus chapter number 25, they have come out of Egypt. They find themselves in the wilderness. God is providing for them water and food, shelter, and they are protected because Pharaoh's army had been destroyed. And they are in a place where the enemy cannot touch them. Woo. Man, I just really want you all to see this now. You know, I might be able to write something after this. And so God now does everything that he needed to do for them, but in the midst of the people that he has delivered and brung out into a safe place, they are not happy with the present situation. So they want more, but doesn't mean that they need what they're asking for. So now Moses doesn't need anything, but God has them to build a tabernacle, a tent that's mobile. It can pick up and be moved. You know, that means the place in the wilderness is not their home. Even though God delivered them out of Egypt in bondage, and he takes them to a place where they're no longer in bondage, but God is providing for them so they would be accustomed to the provision of God again. You know, and that Moses now will be their conduit between them and God. So now look at what God does, because now he has them in a place. It's not the promise for them, but it's yet safe for them because there's a transition that needs to happen. Can I digress for a minute and just, if I can say this the way I feel it, you know, when God delivers you from your oppression or from your oppressor, from the people that have you down or from the situation that you're in, it doesn't mean that he's immediately going to take you to your promise. He has to take you to a place where you now get accustomed to him providing for you. Ooh, my Lord, you have to get accustomed to God now providing for you. It's not a man. It's not the comfort of a woman, you know, but it is the place where only you know, if you really paying close attention to it, that it's God, all of these things for you. Ooh, my Lord. It's a good place, but it's not the promised place. Because the promise is a generational promise that was made, that God made to Abraham for the children of Israel. I wonder now, and boy, I feel the presence of the Lord, if God has made a promise now to someone in your ancestral history, one of your ancestors, if God has promised them something, and now you are getting ready or have entered into that land that they have promised them only because God is keeping a word that he made years or centuries, decades, centuries ago. Whew, manna. Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And in this place now that God has taken you, he wants you. He's not interested in the other things. So in order for him to have you to himself, he has to provide everything that you need. Everything. Now look at the reason for the tabernacle. Moses. Listen, Moses. Something I need for you to tell the children of Israel, Moses. You know, and Moses is quite easy to respond to this. Moses, I need for you to speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them. Take the gold, receive the gold and the silver, the brass, the blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram's skin dyed red, badger's skin, sheathen wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stone, and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. Watch this now. And after they bring this offering and you receive it, Moses, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. If I can express something right now, every offering that they were bringing, God knew of it because he had given it to them. Some had taken these things from Egypt. That means that there were some things they left Egypt with, and that it wasn't evil that they left Egypt with those things, and because they had them, they could offer these things unto God. This was the requested offering of God. And now God gives Moses permission to receive an offering for him, you know, and as he received it, he then tells them now, and then tells them to make a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. Whew. Dear hearts, this is mind-blowing for me because God continues to follow this pattern. And it, now, if you watch yourself real closely, when they construct this tabernacle, he gives them instructions to do something where with Adam, he planted the garden himself. But now he asked the people to build a tabernacle that she may dwell with him. This really wasn't about all of this stuff. This is about obedience. Again, now, God is asking them to do something, and as they do it, she will dwell with them, and they can now worship the Lord. Worship doesn't come behind you throwing your hands up. That means that God has given instructions to you, and as he has given those instructions to you, he's giving you a reason now to worship him. He's not asking you to give something that he hasn't already given unto you. And it's not all money. These were things of value that they had, but they also had to have the sweat equity to put in to building a house that he may dwell with them. Watch it now. It doesn't mean go build a church, because she's already built the house. He just wants you to take care of it, because he's looking for a place that he can dwell with you. I say this unto everyone that is listening, and I want you to grab a hold of this, because this is intricately important. If you find yourself in a place of uncomfortability because you've been pulled out of where you were, and you know only God is doing the things to you that are happening, he's getting ready to get you to develop a place where he can dwell with you. Watch it now. Where he can talk to you. Where he can now allow you to come into his presence because you've obeyed him and you can worship him. Because remember now, she gives provision for his vision. And once he provided all that his vision needs, his vision now can come to him and worship him, because God created the vision for himself. He did not create us for us or for everyone else. He created us for him. And through the level of obedience, we now can come before the Lord just to worship him. Watch it now. Because if we are aware of something, then the tabernacle now represents something different. Ooh, boy, I feel the presence of the Lord now. If we are aware that God gives provision for his vision, and he's now requesting something of you, that means he's provided everything that you need before you come to him, so you won't come to him in need of anything. Ooh, I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but God has shown you what he is doing in your life. He's showing you that what he's asked of you, and if you just simply obey whatever God is telling you, the provision is already there, because you are the vision of God. You are the vision of God. And now look at this now. The reason why you have this stuff and these things, the reason why he's put you in a place where you consider yourself blessed, is because now you can't come to him in the need of anything. But now you come to him. You come to him with the provision now of all that he's done for you. You come to him now because of you don't have to ask him or beg him to do something. You don't have to ask him to heal you. You don't have to ask him to deliver you. You don't have to ask him to provide for you, because he's already done it. And the whole reason of him putting you in a position to enjoy these things is that these things don't become your God, but you come to your God without a need, just giving him glory because you've obeyed him, glorifying him because you did what he's asked of you, the pure essence of obedience now is saying that now you have the authority to walk into a place where it's only you and him. And I don't want to get too further into the tabernacle, it's something we're going to talk about next week, because in order to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, depending where you are, to receive the transfer of what Jesus has done in himself unto you, you have to see now the pattern that God did with the garden going into the tabernacle. Even when it looked like the enemy would come against the children of Israel, you know, God blocked them. Even when it looked like that their lives were at stake, God blocked them. And even when they got into a place free of the tyranny of Pharaoh, they acted as if they were still in Egypt. Now, you know, people died off, and only a few could go into the promised land. But watch it now. The place where God has you is all about him. Before he gets you to the promise that was before your time, that is before you even existed, whatever that promise is, wherever that life is, wherever that spouse is, wherever that job is, wherever that business is, before you get to that, he wants you to himself. Come, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell with you. God had Adam to himself. He had Eve to himself. That woman, both made into the image of God. He had them both to himself. Before he presented the woman to Adam, God had her in his own hand. Because he took a rib from Adam, and now this bone was in the hands of the Lord. This bone knew God more than it knew Adam. So imagine this now. That God is getting you ready to establish something around where you are. If you have experienced the exodus out Egypt, out of bondage, whether it be spiritual bondage, personal bondage, physical bondage, emotional bondage, financial bondage, you know, whatever that bondage is, whether you're looking at it as a euphemism or colloquialism, or whether you're looking at it as real. Whatever this bondage is, God has given you an exodus out of it. He has orchestrated an exodarial journey to take you out of Egypt, the place that has had you bound in your mind, bound in your spirit, bound in your body, bound in your family, bound in your finances, bound in your business, bound in your job. Have you locked up in your covenant with your spouse? God has brought you to a place to free you, that those not be issues, so he now will have a place where you can dwell with him. Man, don't have to scream loud or anything there, Nikki, because I haven't even gotten into the tabernacle. But I want you to see where you are prior to getting to the tabernacle, or to that dwelling place, or to that place that God wants to dwell with you. This is not about building a church, a building that we call church, in which you are the body of Christ. This is not about going and getting stuff and things, and it's okay to acquire things and stuff, but, you know, when you acquire these things, if you have them correctly, they're providing a need. They're the provision of your need.
And God gave you the provision of your need, and he gave you enough of that to where you can make an offering back to him. Doesn't mean it's in money. It could be in time. It could be in resources. It could be what you give in regard to other people. Whatever that is, he gave you an access of. He can now acquire that back from you, ask of you. And if you give it freely, you know, if you give your time freely, if you are given the resources that you have freely, whether it be stone, whether it be livestock, whether it be, you know, comfort in clothing or food or what have you, you know, he's asking this of you because he's giving it to you. He's not asking anything of you that he has not already given it to you in abundance. Wow. He's not asking anything of you that he has not given you in abundance. Dear heart, this is critical right now. This is the truth. Don't want you to look at the tabernacle as a building, even though this tabernacle was a tent. It was mobile. It wasn't stationary. It could be picked up. It could be moved. Any place within the wilderness and they got close to getting to the promised land, this tent was moved. The place where God presently has you is going to grow and become greater. It's not going to be in the same place it was yesterday. If you obey him, he's going to move it. He's going to shift it. And as you come, he's going to meet you there. I hope you all are hearing me. Don't get stuck in the same place because God has delivered you from one spot. As God moves you, pick up your tent and go where God wants you to go. And when you put that tent back together, put that place back together where he wants you, he will meet you there. He'll meet you there because he's still providing for you in the wilderness. You haven't gotten to the promise yet. Whoo. Man, you're not there yet, you know. And when you get to that place, you know that wherever that is not going to come easy because, you know, you left your promise. You haven't been there because you've been gone. And someone else is occupying your land, you know, occupying your spot where you should be. And they're enjoying the fruits of what God had promised, you know, you from years past before you even knew you had a name. But before he brings you out of the wilderness, he got you out of Egypt, but he has you in this wilderness experience that he can give you the instructions needed to develop a place where you can go and be with him. When you can worship the Lord because you've done what he's asked of you to do. And now when he summons you, you can come. So to bring more emphasis to this, that in this garden where God gave Adam access to, where he can come in, I've told some people this in times past, is the word of the Lord because God speaks. And so we're not talking about the Bible. Because those are transcripts that man put together. Whatever we want to believe about that, you can't. But the strength in this is that, you know, when God created Adam, he spoke to him. And Adam knew the voice of God. And so when God was summoning him to the garden, he would come. Moses did not have a Bible. If we read Exodus chapter number 25 correctly, you know, and look at what it says, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. God said something to Moses. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, then God is speaking to you. Can you hear him? Can you really grasp a hold of hearing from the Lord? Man, I feel the presence of the Lord. There's something big getting ready to happen to somebody that is listening to this broadcast here tonight. There's something astronomical because in your wilderness now, God is taking you from not having to providing everything for you, where you thought things were going to go astray or rise, but wherever God is sending you, wherever you're getting ready to go, provision is already there. I feel the presence of the Lord because somebody that is listening, whether you are in South America, whether you are in North America, in Canada, or over in Ireland, you know, God is releasing something right now because he's delivered you from Egypt. He's brought you out. There's an exodus that has happened. And if you hear him today, if you're listening to him, he's already given something to you. And with what he's given you, he's just asking you to give a portion of it back. And somebody's going to receive it. I'm not talking about me, but somebody's going to receive the gift that God is putting in your spirit to give, because as you give this now, he wants you to open yourself up and listen to him that he can come in and now dwell with you. He wants this from you because he created this for you. You feel the void that God put there. He feels the void that he put in your life. And the void that Satan left, God has put you in that place that you would sit in. The devil is upset because you've taken his place. You're doing what Lucifer no longer has the authority to do. God is developing you before you enter into your promise, that you can show the devil that God has provided everything that I need just because he wants to dwell with me. And this now becomes truly not about me, but more about God. Be harsh if I hadn't said it. I want you to hear me loud and clear tonight, because it's evident that I just know within my spirit God brought this up to me last week, and I've heard it throughout the week with other people and stuff, and saying that this really doesn't have anything to do with me. And the truth is, if we're going to look at this thing called the tabernacle, it begins to unlock the boundaries that are around you, the things that kept you in Egypt. The walls, man, are not big enough to keep you there. The guards that were there with the whips and the jobs that you did is not enough to keep you there, because God has already sent a word through someone to get you out. He's guarded and protected you even when you was leaving. The enemy wanted to destroy you because God delivered you. And as you in this place right now, listen to me real well. I cannot reiterate this and continue to say this to you, is that God has drawn you into the wilderness before he gets you to your promise. And before he gets you to your promise, there is a place, there's a tabernacle in your life. There's a tabernacle around you. There's a tabernacle. If you listen to the Lord, you can construct it however. If you think in your house, in your backyard, there's a tabernacle now that will move when you move. There's a tabernacle that when you finish this and you've obeyed God on how to prepare this place, that when he summons you, you'll come. Business powerful, dear heart. Think about it. Just a mere thought. As we go back and look at this in its entirety, God brought you into the wilderness that you're in now, that he can dwell with you, that you would be able to come before him without a need. How extraordinary is that? Well, I have about, you know, a little less than 10 minutes left, and I
I just want to pray with you and release something over your life. You know, because the wilderness is not a bad place to be. It is the best place for you now and to be mobile as God moves you closer to your promise. Amen. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, always your presence, oh God, that we desire and that we need. God, it's your presence that does everything for us, oh Lord. When we come into your presence, God, we're not looking to ask you for anything, because truly, God, you have provided. We may not see the provision, oh God, but we are your vision. And you did not bring us here, oh God, to come beg you for anything, especially when you've given it all to us. Lord, help us see the provision. Help us draw from the provision. We are not providers. You are, Lord. And as long as you show us the provision, God, we're able to draw from this provision that our families may also not be in need. God, we want to obey you, that when we come before you, we can worship you. Thank you, O God. Father, I pray that every ear that had the opportunity to hear and to listen, God, pull in this as we prepare for next week, O God, and to really, God, begin to dive into the tabernacle as you have saw fit. We bless you, O God. Thank you for those people, O God, that are alive, that have exited out of Egypt, that are in the wilderness, that are obeying you, Father. God, ready to create that place where they can worship you, Father, where you can dwell with them, and you can begin to get them closer to the promise. I bless you, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, again, I want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. We've been away for almost a month, and through this transition, you know, God has blessed me to be able to get into a good place and not just physically, but emotionally, mentally. And I'm just appreciating the Lord of how he's gotten me out of where I was and that I know I'm not in my promise right now. But Lord God, man, just to hear and obey it, and for him to have a place where I can dwell with him has been more than just a blessing. You know, more than just a blessing. You know, I would love to hear from you, and I didn't do this before, but I'm going to do it now. You know, you can write me. If you get this message and you really want to send me a letter or something of that nature, I'm not asking for no money, but if you want to send me a letter regarding this, I mean, just go ahead, send it to me. You can send it to 10138 Grand Canal Drive, Unit 14201, and that is in Windermere, Florida. The zip code is 34786. I would love to hear from you. You know, send me a letter, get it. You know, I don't mind reading those and really hearing what you believe God is asking of you to do. I want to pray with you, you know, in those letters. I want to pray over them and that the hand of God be upon your life as you move forward with the things that he's asking of you. I think it's a blessing. For those people that are in transition, I mean, just don't be concerned about all of the things that you feel other than the things that God tells you. That's the thing you should be concerned about. Amen. It's been a blessing, and I appreciate you all again for tuning in tonight. May God bless you and have a smile upon you until we meet again. Bless you.